You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and I do not have a co-host this morning. There is no Grazia Marcheschi or Wayne Magyars. Both are very busy this morning, but we have a tremendous program lined up, a special edition of Catholic Schools Today. And we have with us in studio Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the superintendent of Catholic Schools, the Archdiocese of Chicago, who'd like to inform our listeners about the Capital for Kids event, which will happen on Tuesday, October 25th. Sister Mary Paul, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Father Greg, it is always a joy to be with you, and thank you for your support of Catholic education.
Oh,
I mean, as a pastor and as a person, we are so deeply grateful.
I had 18 wonderful years as associate and as pastor at St. Mary the Woods, and have now moved on to St. Mary's.
Place.
So the school at St. Mary the Woods, and also we have a very unique venture in Evanston with St. Nicholas and St. Mary co-sharing Pope John the 23rd, and we just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
You had a big party Saturday
310
night.
People.
I'm so delighted.
And we held it at Misericordia. They have a brand new facility that has like a banquet hall. It was absolutely marvelous. Food was terrific. Wonderful spirit. And the thing that struck me, Sister Mary Paul, was the parents so supportive, and that's what it's all about.
Yes, it is.
The support of the parents.
And, you know, Catholic education really, Father, as you know, is to support the faith of the family. Yes, we have it as evangelization as well, but we get to that evangelization because it is parents who want something so much more for their kids. And certainly Catholic parents, what they want is to pass on the faith, and the Catholic schools become the tremendous vehicle for that.
Now, so, tell us something about this event coming up on Tuesday, October 25th. Capital for Kids.
This is a fun event. Cardinal loves this event. It's at the Capital Grill, if of all places here downtown, and they just kind of closed the grill, and they open it up to all of us, which is wonderful. They're not just the libations, but marvelous food, and folks are asked to come, and we've had many donations flow in just for their awareness for the Capital of the Kids, but anything that's raised that night goes to the Cardinal's Scholarship Fund, which is used for both elementary and high schools to support those families who get in the middle of the year and discover that there's a loss of job or illness, death in the family, something compelling that now says, you know, we need help and we can't stay.
So how much was raised for Capital for Kids last year?
You know, almost $100,000, which was its largest ever. That includes not just the event, but the monies and grants that flowed in.
So all the money raised for Capital for Kids will then be used for children and families for scholarships on both a grammar school and high school level.
Yes, that's
for schools in the Archdiocese.
We hear
of
from
Chicago.
Schools all the time, from parents who write to us and say the parish doesn't have any help, or the high school, whether it's ours or a religious sponsored high school, they'll say, we don't have any funds to help keep these kids in school. What can we do? And we go back to the principal, back to the pastor, back to the president of the high school and say, can you help us vet these to be sure that it's a great kid and that the families need this, that go through? And then the schools themselves will say, yes, absolutely, and then we will respond in the way that we can. But we spend all those funds almost every year and probably have a need three times that just from the letters we get in, because we're not really a scholarship organization.
Right.
Big Shoulders is very terrific.
But you want to make sure that children with families who would like to go to a Catholic school are given some help. We're going to talk more about Capital for Kids, but no, we have with us in studio, walked in about 9:03, Father Marco Mercado, the director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father Marco, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you, and good morning. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning
to everyone.
Good to see you, Marco. And now, you're being here today because a thing called a Latino Initiative. And the Latino Initiative is a concerted effort to bring more Latino families into our Catholic schools. Father Marco, is this something brand new? Is this Latino Initiative literally a new initiative? It's been around for a couple of years.
I think it's been around for a couple of years. We're just trying to, make a little stronger and to be more aggressive and approach the Latino families. Right now, almost officially 46% of the diocese is Latino. And at least we can get our Latino kids in our schools, we're going to be in big trouble. And this is an idea to change the mentality of the Latino families, that we are not very used to have our kids in Catholic schools. And I think this is the reason why is in Mexico, and it's mostly in Mexico, but 85% of our Latino population is Mexican. In Mexico, Catholic education means private education. And private education means education only for rich families.
Mm-hmm.
And people immediately think that Catholic school is, or private school is, something very expensive. And in Mexico, it is. I have my nephews and nieces in Catholic schools with the Legionaries of Christ. And just to give you an idea, my sisters, for one of my nieces, for my nieces and nephews who are in grammar school, they pay, which would be equivalent to about $11,000 a year for grammar school. So high school goes to probably $16,000 a year. So the idea for the general people is private school is very expensive.
See, what I find was very interesting is I'm a product of the Catholic school system, the Archdiocese. But I go way back, started in 1959, graduated Mary Seat of Wisdom in Park Ridge in 67. But see, the population, if you go back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, was, if you're talking the immigrants from Poland, Germany, Italy, Ireland, the assumption was coming to the United States was you would go into a Catholic school in the Archdiocese of Chicago for those immigrants here, that it was a given you'd be in a Catholic school. But now for the Latino community, with 85% from Mexico, it's seen as, well, that's for the rich and the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Marcos, it's to kind of change that mindset. So say, no, it is for everybody.
Yeah, it's what we're trying to send, the message that it is for everybody, and there is very important for them. That Catholic school has to be something that they have to consider very strongly. Once again, the main difference with the immigrants coming from Italy, Ireland, Germany, is that they came with their own clergy, with their own nuns, and yep. They built their schools before they built their churches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so here you're coming into a pre-existing setup that isn't necessarily set up in a welcoming way often. And I think mm-hmm. we have to take a look at that. How do we work within the Latino culture to say, it is for you, it is for your family. And you are.
So I think historically you're right. When those immigrant groups came here, the sisters came with, and then all of a sudden, you're right, they opened up the school even before the parish, and all the children were flooding into it. And the reason we have the Capital for Kids campaign is because in those days, the staffs of the schools were the sisters of the religious community, and they were being paid like $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Was their salary. So therefore, mm-hmm. the tuition was extremely
low. I was in one place
low.
Where we got, and I'm not, as old as some of those older gals, but I mean, we got canned goods and a half a steer one year when the parish really, so we wouldn't starve.
That was your
that was,
salary?
That was it.
Canned goods and a half a steer?
And a half a steer and four of us, yeah. So I mean, it really, it was fun.
What happened to the half of the steer?
I don't know. I could eat it myself by the end of the year.
And the thing is, now, some of the money raised for the Capital for Kids campaign does go for children from the Hispanic Latino community.
Yes.
And the thing is, so it's all part of it. And we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with, my guest today, Father Marco Mercado and Sister Mary Paul McCaughey. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Call in on Catholic Schools Today and stay with us, and do not touch that dial.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and said, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is coming up on exactly 9:12 on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. A great fall day. Sunny, upper 50s, but nothing like the weather we had about 10, 12, 13 days ago where it was averaging 75, 80 degrees. It was like early September weather in early mid-October. We're with us in studio. We are live. We are not recorded, so we are taking phone calls at 312-255-8408. Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and does a marvelous job. Sister Mary Paul, your energy, your enthusiasm,
it's
your deep
my principles. It's not me. I'm and really sustained by the people that work hard every day. Like the people in our schools,
Energizer,
our teachers.
Energizer Bunny, you're full of energy life and always going. And also, Father Marco Mercado, a great priest, the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Thank
Marco,
you.
Ordained what year?
98.
Jeez, I got sweaters
baby.
Older than you.
Such
oh
a baby.
Gosh. And director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking during the commercial break, Father Marco, is with the whole Latino initiative, a very important component is the teaching that needs to be done for the priests who work in the Latino community. Say more about that.
Yeah.
That's a part that could really be overlooked.
Yeah, exactly, because we have to consider that right now we have 55 priests ordained for Chicago who are Latino. It's only two of them who are, as we say, Mexican-Americans who were born here, Father Sig Sanchez and Father Felipe Valiente. Everybody else, like myself, we are coming to the United States as immigrants. And one of the things that we have, along with the many blessings, that we have some limitations. And one of the limitations is our experience in Mexico and the seminar in Mexico or any part in the Latin America is that Catholic education is not part of the formation. It is not part of our experience in Latin America. So when we are appoint pastors here and we have schools, many times we don't know how to deal with. We don't have any background. We don't have any experience. Many of our brother priests, they never attended to Catholic school. They always went to private schools. And so this is a challenge, how to educate us in what Catholic school means for the church in the United States. And let me finish with this. One of the things that the Cardinal George asked me a year ago when he asked me to take this position, he said, "Marco, I want you to help me to teach Latinos to learn how to be Catholics in the United States. And I think this is a huge challenge because it's not the same being Catholic in Mexico, Ecuador, Peru, Argentina,
okay, let me stop
whatever.
There. What does it mean to be Catholic in Mexico? What does it mean to be Catholic in Chicago?
To be Catholic in Chicago is to learn how the church works in Chicago specifically. And the church in Chicago works in the way that is very connected, especially in this case with our Catholic schools, is very connected with many other situations that we really don't connect in Mexico. And let me tell you, for example, in Mexico, the church doesn't have to pay any utilities. The church doesn't have to pay any union, labor unions or whatever. So that's why people are not very used to give money to the church. They give into, if you need something, Father, we can build it for you. We can paint it for you. We can fix it for you,
exactly.
Which is very different here in the United States.
It is. And I think we have to learn from that sense of community and tap into the gifts that way. Eventually, mm-hmm. they can be monetary. But I think that is a struggle with understanding tuition, scholarships, going back to the capital for kids. But I also think that we can learn so much from the sense of family that the Hispanic community brings to us. And I think when we look at our schools, if I travel through, for example, St. Agnes of Bohemia around First Communion time, and I look at those beautiful kids with their heads down and their hands folded in the hallways because they're offering up a silent day for Jesus. I was there for one day. I mean, here I am. I'm going, whoa, and the beauty of it. And I think one of the things we can do is to invite our priests. They need to take a walk through without being frightened by little kids or big kids, to know that these are God's children. And I think the love that they will experience within our schools for them is actually the biggest thing we can do for our priests, is to get them exposed to what is really going on. And, you know, these aren't just little kids on a playground. Come on into those classrooms and
out of curiosity,
fear not. You know, just fear not. Get in there. You love it.
What have Hispanic children and families taught you?
Oh, they have taught me what it is to be totally gracious before God, to know that all life is gift, that relationship is important, that families from generation to generation hold those stories close. And there's a tremendous love for their children. And I think that's why the Catholic schools and the Latino community are such a perfect match. And I'm grateful to the University of Notre Dame and their ACE program for providing us. We're partially, each of the diocese and ND are partially funding someone to really help teach us how to reach out to the communities and to make that outreach to our pastors and
families. Is that
families.
I am second generation born here in the United States. My mother and father, first generation ancestry, came from Poland. So that church is so much a part of my life as a child connected to the school. When you get the whole Hispanic Latino ministry situation, that's not the case, as you're saying, Marco, because as families, let's say, come from Mexico, their experience of church is a whole different ballgame in Mexico than would be found here in Chicago. So it's a whole sense of, you're talking about, of learning and relearning here what it means to be church in Chicago versus, let's say, Mexico.
Yeah, because let's remember that in Mexico we are right now 89% Catholics. So almost everything surrounded in the life of the town is around the faith. It's around the church. So it's not a very strong need for our families to send their kids to private schools or Catholic schools, because everything in town is about the
it's
faith.
It's about the community.
It's about the community. It's about Catholic. When they came here, we have to remember that we are a Protestant country. We are a minority. So everything surrounds around the parish. And the parish means everything, including the school. It's a place where you nourish your faith. It's the only place where you really can get exposed or practice your faith with freedom. And that's one of the challenges and the things that our Latino community have to learn. We're not in Mexico anymore, so our kids are not as protected as
and
they used to be in Mexico.
And our public schools are not Catholic schools.
Exactly.
I mean, it's totally secular. And
it's a whole.
And it's a very scary thing. That's why I think some of our, I was talking to one of our principals in Cicero, and they have a great pastor there too. The Catholic schools of Cicero, mostly, you know, Latino, and are just wonderful. And they keep saying, we're worried about the kids in those middle school. Wish we could do more or open up more. There's a whole sense of not of losing what's precious about the sense of community through secularization in our country.
Yeah, we need to bring this segment to a close. We could keep going with this one. This is an excellent conversation. Before we close, Sister Mary Paul, do you have a phone number or web that people could learn more about the Capital for Kids, the big event happening on Tuesday, October 25th? It's being held at the Capitol Grill in downtown.
www.archchicago.org. Click on schools, and I think we even have a little feature there for Capital for Kids with our thank to the Cardinal.
We want to thank in a very special way Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools, the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Father Marco Mercado, the Director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics in the Archdiocese. Father Marco, Sister Mary Paul, you are outstanding in what you do. God bless both of you, and you are listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackles. We'll be back right after this break.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, which is part of Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 9:22 on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And for those that didn't hear, the Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings last night, 39-10. I'm not sure if Minnesota is that bad because I don't think the Bears are actually that good, but Bears looked great last night. And Brian, a win is a win, and we'll take the win. Talking to my engineer, that's what losers say. Okay, we have Jennifer Sansoni was chosen as a winner in the Share the Truth commercial contest sponsored by the Respiratory Health Association of Metropolitan Chicago as part of its Chicago Tobacco Prevention Project. And Jennifer's commercial was played on Chicago TV and radio stations this summer. The Share the Truth contest offered Chicago teens the chance to make a 30-second TV or radio commercial about the impacts of tobacco and smoking. And Jennifer's radio commercial describes how her grandmother died due to tobacco-related illness and reminds listeners that, quote, smoking is not a lifestyle, it's a deadly habit, and you can quit. And also with us beside Jennifer Sansoni, who created the 30-second spot, we have also, and Jennifer is from De La Salle Heights Institute in Chicago, we have also Margaret Grabowski, the Assistant Director of Admissions and Alumni Relations, and Margaret was a guest a couple of months ago. Jennifer and Margaret, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Now, Jennifer, you are the winner of this contest, and was every student at De La Salle Institute demanded or invited to come up with this commercial? How did this happen?
I actually saw it on TV a lot. They were advertising to send it in, but I wasn't going to send it in at first. I thought there's no way I'm ever going to win that thing. Like, I'm not going to do it. And then my aunt told me that I should really do it because I could have a good story about my grandma and stuff, so then I decided to do that.
So the thing is, now this is a 30-second radio spot, so we're not dealing with the medium of television, so there's no visual. So how long did it take you to write your 30-second spot?
Less than 5 minutes. I already knew what I wanted to say.
So you wrote a 30-second spot for radio about to be, about how tobacco hurts you, and you had the storyline about grandma, and it took you less than 5 minutes to write the copy.
Yes, but it took a lot longer to rehearse it to be exactly 30 seconds.
That's the hard part, because when I deal with radio and television, 30 seconds means 30 seconds. And now, Margaret, what role did you play in encouraging the students to participate, or was this totally unrelated to you?
Unfortunately, I'd love to say that I could take credit in this. I found out through one of Jennifer's teachers that she had submitted her radio PSA, and that initially she was a finalist, and we were all encouraged to go and vote for her PSA, which I know a lot of us did, went online and made sure we voted for her. And then we found out a few months later that she had won, so it was very exciting. I'd love to take more credit in saying that I helped her push, you know, and actually do it, but we just supported her as far as when she made it to the finals, and then we voted for her.
Do you have any idea how many commercials were submitted for the 30-second PSA?
Near 800.
Almost 800 from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And how many times did your winning radio PSA spot air on different radio markets or radio stations?
I have no idea. They didn't even tell me a schedule of it. I just had to listen and hope I heard it.
And the thing is, and it's your voice on this 30-second spot.
Yeah.
So it wasn't done given to the broadcaster from the station to record your PSA. It's your voice on all these radio stations.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. And the thing is, how many other students from De La Salle Institute actually submitted a PSA spot, Margaret? Anybody?
I don't think anybody else did. I believe Jennifer was the only student. So I think she was alone in this.
But 800, this is 800 high school kids?
Chicago
submitted?
Area kids, yeah.
It could have been grammar school or
I'm
high
not
school.
Sure. I think it's mostly
and
high
you
school.
Are a junior. Now, do you, now, in the life, in your life, when did grandma pass away?
2008.
2008. I see your mom and dad here in the studio. Why don't you guys wave to the radio audience, mom and dad, and Jennifer's mother and father. And you've got to be very proud of your daughter, Jennifer. And do you have aspirations of going into radio or TV as a writer, or what are your dreams?
Well, at first I thought I wanted to study psychology, but then getting in the studio and seeing everything firsthand, I don't know, kind of changed my mind maybe.
That's incredible. So that it was through your aunt who encouraged you to do this.
Yes.
Now, how did she find out about this?
She saw the commercials, too. And she's like, oh, did you see these commercials about this contest? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And she's like, you need to do it. You need to send one in.
And the thing is now, in just a little brief way, give us the gist of your 30-second spot.
I basically begin talking about, you know, my grandma, how she did that. And then I go into some statistics. I can't say that.
Mm-hmm. About tobacco?
Yeah, and then I end with that quote that I made up about it's a deadly habit, it's not a lifestyle.
It's a great good. Smoking is not a lifestyle, it's a deadly habit, and you can quit. That's your quote.
Yeah, I made that up.
And that was the very end of it. That's marvelous. And Margaret, you have to be very proud of Jennifer.
I'm very proud of Jennifer. Jennifer is one of our wonderful, wonderful young women from De La Salle's Lord Hall campus. Very talented, just the type of student that we really enjoy having because, you know, this is something she found on her own. She, you know, took her initiative. She had a little push from family, which is always good.
Which is great because, you know, you had a little encouragement. And,
absolutely.
But then Jennifer took it from there. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Margaret, when you were on the air a couple of months ago, you yourself are a graduate of De La Salle.
I am. I graduated in 2006.
And now today you are the Assistant Director of Admissions and Alumni Relations.
Yes, I am.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today, a part of Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, and our guests are Jennifer Sansoni, a junior at De La Salle Institute, and also Margaret Grabowski, who's the Assistant Director of Admissions and Alumni Relations. 312-255-8408. The time is exactly 9:29. On this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic community of...
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sack, was pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston. Time is coming up on 9:32 on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. Today's high is supposed to be about 58, 59 degrees. Our phone number, 312-258-4008, and we have with us in studio Jennifer Sansoni, a junior at De La Salle Institute, and was chosen a winner in the Share the Truth commercial contest sponsored by the Respiratory Health Association of Metropolitan Chicago as part of its Chicago Tobacco Prevention Project. And Jennifer had the winning 30-second radio spot. Also with us in studio, Margaret Grabowski, an assistant director of admissions and alumni relations and a graduate of De La Salle Institute 2006. But we do have a phone call, and believe it or not, Jennifer, we have your aunt Annette on the phone. This is a miracle that we have Aunt Annette, and this is the aunt who encouraged you to go for it.
Yes.
Aunt Annette, welcome to Catholic Schools Today. Good morning, Annette.
Good morning.
Where do you live, Annette?
I live in the Bridgeport area by Jennifer.
Oh, that's terrific. And so now Jennifer told all the listeners that you're the one who encouraged her to go for it. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I brought it up to her.
And, well, you sound very modest.
And I am so proud of her. I'm her number one fan besides her mother.
Well, that is terrific. And now you were seeing these commercials being aired on radio, and you said to Jennifer, you should do this.
Go and get it, Jen. You can do this. And she insisted not, and I insisted yes, and I knew she could do it, and she did it. She can do anything.
Now, did you know that Jennifer's theme was going to be her grandmother?
Yes, I did. I'm so proud of her. That's my mother.
Oh, that's your mom. Okay.
Yes.
And your mom passed away in 2008.
Correct.
Okay, so this would then be a grandma for Jennifer. And all I can say is, and to all our listeners, sometimes we underestimate the encouragement that we need to go for it, to do something. In fact, there's a great line that says, every time we say, I can't do it, what we're really saying is, I won't do it. And so we should never say, I can't, because I can't really means, I won't. And so we gave Jennifer a push in saying, you can do this. And we all need that encouragement in life. And Jennifer, you did it. You want to say hi to your aunt?
Hi.
Hi, love you.
Okay. Love you too.
Well, Ann Annette, thank you for joining. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Schools Today, and thanks for the phone call, Ann Annette, and you have a great day.
Okay, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
That's great of your aunt to call. That's if any other relative, Jennifer, would like to call, our phone number, 312-255-8408, maybe a long-distance cousin or someone you don't even know. We got 6 minutes left to go. Jennifer, why did you choose De La Salle Institute, and what's your favorite part about the school? Why do you love it so much?
Well, I like that it's really close to my house, so I don't have to get up that early.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it, sure.
I like that it's an all-girls school. I concentrate harder. I like that the teachers are really involved with the students. It's easier on the work.
And thing is that when you were an eighth grade graduate from what school?
Holden Elementary. It's right down the block.
And then, like, you had a couple of options, or was De La Salle Institute the school that you really wanted to go to?
It was the only school I applied to.
It is?
The only school.
Okay. So, and that's a great. Now, I'm sure you're thinking about colleges, because now you're an upperclassman. You'll be taking ACT, SAT, and all those good tests and all that. And where you had said to earlier on the air that you're thinking about possibly psychology, you might be moving into this area of communications.
Maybe.
And what, you're so young, and I'll tell you this, do pray. Do pray about it and say, Lord, where are you leading me with my life? And be able to trust that. And the Lord will be with you. Margaret, as the Assistant Director of Admissions and Alumni Relations, you look at Jennifer and you see a wonderful young lady here. Say something more about the students at De La Salle, because you said it's only one of two high schools across the country. Keep going.
De La Salle Institute is only one of two schools in the entire country that are the co-institutional model of education, which means we have two campuses, but we are still one school. So we're not co-ed, because we do educate young men and women, but we educate them in separate buildings. So that's where co-institutional.
And this started back in 2002.
Correct. In 2002, the Lourdes Hall campus for young women opened. I was a freshman in high school. And that's when we started our co-institutional system, because De La Salle's been around since 1889, educating young men. And then in 2002, we started educating young women.
Does it go back that far? It opened its doors in
1889. Yes. Brother Adger of Mary actually pounded the pavement, walked around getting people to start investing in his school, and De La Salle's been around ever since, educating young men. And then luckily in 2002, when I needed a high school to go to, a good high school, it opened its doors for young women.
And that was the first year, then you happened to be a freshman that year.
I was a freshman in 2002.
Tell us about the open house coming up.
Our open house dates, our first one for young women is coming up this Wednesday evening. So if there are 7th and 8th grade, even 6th grade families that maybe aren't doing anything and they're going to start looking for high schools and need to start doing the process, please come to our open house. It'll be Wednesday, October 19th from 6 to 8 at our Lourdes Hall campus, which is on 32nd Place. Okay, if you can't make that one, we have one on Saturday, November 19th at Lourdes Hall from 10 a.m. until noon. If you're a 7th or 8th grade gentleman looking for high school, our open houses at the Institute campus will be Wednesday, November 16th from 6 to 8. If you can't make that one, Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. until noon.
And now give us a phone number and a web.
Sure.
People can call or look up.
The website is www.dls.org.
Once again,
www.dls.org.
And what about a phone number?
For the Institute campus, it's 312-842-7355.
Margaret.
312-842-7355. And if you want to talk to me at Lourdes Hall, 773-650-6800.
And Jennifer, what would you tell an 8th grade girl about possibly going to De La Salle Institute?
It's a really good school. You should check it out. There's lots of clubs, lots of extracurricular. I can't say that word either.
Curricular. You're doing great. And do you play any sports in school right now?
Oh, no.
What activities are you involved with at De La Salle?
I just joined the fashion club, and I'm going to join Glee Club.
That is terrific. So we need to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Jennifer Sansoni, a junior at De La Salle Institute and a recent winner of the Share the Truth commercial contest sponsored by the Respiratory Health Association Metropolitan Chicago for the winning 30-second radio PSA. Jennifer, congratulations. We're very proud of you. That's outstanding. 800 young people applied. You were the winner. And also thank you to Margaret Grabowski, the Assistant Director of Admissions and Alumni Relations at De La Salle Institute. Margaret, love your enthusiasm.
Thank you.
God bless both of you. And you are listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:39. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break. And do not touch that dial.
This year, on November 26th and 27th, the Catholic Church all over the United States will begin celebrating the Mass using the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. In much of the prayers, responses, and acclamations, this English translation will no doubt sound a bit different from what we're currently used to in the Mass. The question is, are you ready for these new words? The Office for Divine Worship invites you to a two-hour session of information and reflection, Praying the New Missal Texts, a workshop for all Catholics. There are several sessions scheduled through early November. For dates, times, and locations of the remaining workshops, go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153. Don't miss this opportunity for exploring the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sack. The time is 9:42 on this gorgeous Monday morning in Chicago. Weather is pretty much seasonal, high in the upper 50s. And in our last segment today, the students, parents, faculty, and staff of St. Richard School and the parishioners of St. Richard Church recently participated in the homecoming celebration at Midway Airport for the 100 veterans who participated in the recent Honor Flight Chicago. Honor Flight Chicago is a nonprofit organization dedicated to honoring Chicago's World War II veterans with an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. for a day to honor to see their memorial and other locations such as the Arlington National Cemetery and the Vietnam Memorial. The veterans spend an event-filled and emotion-packed day flying from Chicago's Midway Airport to Washington, D.C. When they return to Chicago, the veterans are given a hero's greeting by several thousand cheering and grateful people. And I know that somebody I know from either St. Mary the Woods or St. Mary's in Evanston was part of that group that went to Washington, D.C., because we talked about it afterwards. We have with us via the telephone Regine Charte, a junior high science teacher at St. Richard's School. Also with us on phone, Ryan Morrissey, an eighth grade student and student council president at St. Richard's School. Regine and Ryan, welcome to Catholic Schools Today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
How are you both doing?
I'm doing well.
And now the thing is, we begin with Regine. Say something more. What was your involvement with this, or were you there the day that the 100 veterans came back from Washington, D.C.?
I was. It was a Wednesday evening, and we all gathered at Midway Airport around 7 o'clock, and it was amazing to see the amount of people who came out for this event. There were flags everywhere, and here at school, our students had wrote letters. They had made signs, and they came carrying flags, and we were just there to welcome these wonderful people back from their trip.
And Ryan is the student council president and eighth grader at St. Richard's School. What was your involvement in this, Ryan?
I was there with, like, everybody in my school, and we were just welcoming back and greeting all of these veterans back and wishing them that they had a good flight. And one of our parishioners, her father was on the flight, so we welcomed him back, too. It was cool to see him there because we know the lady whose father it was.
Which means the thing is, I know that if you're dealing with World War II, which, of course, Pearl Harbor was December 7th, 1941, is where we entered the war, and, of course, it ended in August of 1945. And anybody who would have been active in World War II as a veteran would now be today anywhere from about 84 to 90 years old, give or take a couple of years. And it's they do refer to it as the greatest generation, and I so firmly believe that Brokaw wrote that book, The Greatest Generation, and it really was incredible. Now, I know that for both you, Ryan, and for Regine, World War II is just, you know, part of history, and I was born in 1953, and so when I was a little boy, you know, I knew many, many men and women, mostly men who served in World War II. In fact, if there's any caller who served in World War II, we'd like your phone call. 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. If there's anybody out there or a son or daughter whose mother or father served in World War II, I know that my mother's brother, my Uncle Ted, was in World War II with the Air Force, and he was all set to go to the European front. He was trained as upper turret gunner on a B-17, and so if you have anybody out there that was part of it, and we always pray no war. We pray for peace, but war has happened and unfortunately continues today. Now let me ask you this, Ryan. As an eighth grader, what did it feel like to see these men come off the plane and with all the couple of thousand people cheering? What was going through your mind?
It was definitely, like, touchy feeling, and it was really cool just to see, because there were, just to see how many people were there, and, like, just the people were there. Like, Miss Illinois was there to greet them as they walked by, and just to see, like, the looks on their face was, like, priceless.
And how about for you, Regine?
Well, I was lucky enough. My grandfather was in the Navy during World War II, and he and I had a very close relationship. I took care of him. He would have been 91 this year, but he passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared many stories of his experiences overseas. He was in Japan. And seeing these men and women who were either walking on their own or being escorted in a wheelchair, and just the looks on their faces reminded me so much of him. And these people were just so selfless in how they went to whatever front they were at and fought for our country and for our freedom. And it meant so much to these people. And the one thing that I really enjoyed was the men and women had either hats or bags or some way to affiliate them with which branch of the Army or Navy or whatever branch they had served in. And I really liked seeing that there were Marines, there were Navy, there were Army members represented, there was Air Force. And I really enjoyed seeing that just because I did have that personal connection with someone who was in World War II.
It's interesting you say that, because when the war broke out, when these kids turned 18 years old, they were enlisting or being drafted. And you think about 18 years old, I mean, when you think about it, Ryan, you are in eighth grade, so I'm guessing about 14. So it'd be like 4 years from now as you graduate high school, and all of a sudden your parents see you going off to war in 1942, 43, 44, 45. And when you went in 42, you weren't coming back after 6 months. You were there several years, and then you finally came home. Unless some that were coming back injured, or God forbid when that call came that a son or daughter had been killed. And so, but as you described, Regine, they are now 85, 88, 90, 92 years old, getting off that plane. And to think that one time they were serving our country, fighting for freedom. And it, Ryan, did you have a chance to talk to any of these people coming off the plane?
I talked to a few. just like as they were walking by, I shook their hand, and if they stopped in front of me, I would talk to them like, have you had a nice trip, or how'd you like it, or stuff like that. And they told me, and it was just really cool just to hear, like, their experiences. And then, like, one of them came up to me and my friends, and they were saying, like, join the Army. It's so much fun. And it was just, like, cool to hear.
The thing is, then, were there people with tears in their eyes, either from the 100 veterans or those in the audience?
Yes, there were. A lot of tears.
Well, I know I had tears in my eyes.
Yeah, I think it'd be scary to see these men and women, many now fragile and somewhat crippled, and getting off the plane. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sack. We're talking to Ryan Morrissey, an 8th grade student and student council president at St. Richard School, and also Regine Charte, a junior high science teacher at St. Richard School. We'll be back right after this break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to World Youth Day in Madrid, where 1.5 million young adult Catholics from around the globe gathered in prayer and celebration with the Holy Father. We'll attend a multi-faith 9/11 memorial service 10 years after that fateful day. And we'll visit with the man who heads our vocations office and find out what he's doing to foster vocations within the Archdiocese.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your archdiocese.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 9:53 on this Monday morning in Chicago. Talking beautiful weather all week. Well, maybe I'll take it back. Rain on possibly Wednesday, but a nice next weekend coming up, they say. And 312-255-8408. And we are talking with Ryan Morrissey, an 8th grade student and student council president at St. Richard School, and Regine Charte, a junior high science teacher at St. Richard School. Regine, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How did St. Richard School and the parishioners of St. Richard Church even get involved with this as be part of the couple of thousand to greet at Midway?
One of our parishioners' father was on that honor flight on that Wednesday, and she approached our school population and asked if we would write letters. So we took it a step further, and we wrote thank you cards to all of the veterans, because even though we might know one or two personally, it's really important to make sure that all of them get acknowledged for the wonderful work that they do. Our students in junior high were able to write heartfelt letters and some just thank you cards. And, you know, all of us wanted to participate, but
but I think all of the teachers, including myself, were amazed by the number of students that did turn out and who volunteered their time to wait at Midway. We got there around 7 and didn't leave until about 10 o'clock at night.
That is amazing. Now, Ryan, did you write a letter to several of these veterans?
Everybody just wrote one letter, and we gave them to the veterans.
Now, did you have a specific name, or was it more of a generic letter to one individual?
We all wrote them to Mr. Kerwin, which is the parishioner's father.
Got you. Okay, so you wrote to Mr. Kerwin.
Yes. We also wrote generic ones to anyone else who might have been on that flight or who might be on future flights.
And the thing is, let me ask you this, Ryan. As an eighth grader, you know, you are about 14 years old. When you were waiting for the 100 veterans, men and women, to come off the plane at Midway, did it meet your expectation, or were you overwhelmed at the sight of them coming off the plane?
A little bit of both. It was really cool, just like the atmosphere, pretty much, because like everybody was clapping and cheering, and just all ready for the veterans to get off because we wanted to greet them back from their flight, hoping they had a good time.
And the thing is, and for you, Regine, I'm sure the same thing, that I think sometimes we lose the sense that when you're talking a World War II veteran, we're talking someone today who is, like I said, at least 84 years old, maybe up to 95 years old, depending when they enlisted. And so you were really seeing a part of the population that, you know, they're already in their upper years. How did it strike you? Because I know I can tell by the phone you're very young.
You know, to me, it just seems like they are something that we have to cherish right now while they are still with us, that they are a true breed of American hero, that today's veterans are also very heroic, but in a different way. And these men and women who fought in World War II have so many memories that need to be shared, that need to be preserved before we lose them. And, I had tears in my eyes just at the amount of courage that these people had and how wonderful their lives have been.
And the thing that strikes me is that a statistic I heard a couple of years ago, that 5,000 veterans of World War II were dying every day, and this was a couple of years ago. And I thought to myself, 5,000 per day, someone who is 81, 82, 85, 87, and if I am not mistaken, that the last living person from World War I that served in our country died about a year ago. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm going by memory, is only one person in the entire world who served in World War I lives today. And that person happens to be a gentleman from France who then would be about 109 years old, if my math is right. And I'm Brian Hockey Hitman Brock thinks it's me, and I thought I beat you to the punch, Brian. Now I'm only 58. Nice try, and so you know. Any last thoughts, Ryan or Regina, do you want to share with us about this memory that was created that Wednesday evening that you both never forget? Any last thought, Regine?
I think that I definitely will never forget this experience. It was something that is truly a Catholic identity issue, that we are giving back to the people who took so much out of their life to give back to us, that even though I was not on the planet at that point,
right,
they were still fighting for our country, and many of the luxuries and freedoms that I enjoy today is thanks to these people.
The veterans of World War II changed the course of the world. How about for you, Ryan? Any last thought?
Yeah, pretty much what Ms. Chartier said, and like how our world wouldn't be the same if they hadn't fought and, like, freed our country pretty much.
You're right. Well, thank you in a very special way, Regine Chartier, junior high school teacher at St. Richard School, and also to Ryan Morrissey, an eighth grade student and student council president at St. Richard School. Thank you very much, Regine and Ryan, for being part with us today. Thank you to our excellent producer, Jasmine Kudos, and our outstanding engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To our listeners, God bless. Great week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.